Doomsday Eve by Robert Moore Williams. Chapter 1. The legends clustering around the new people began before the war, while the man who started the group, Old Jal Jonner, was alive, but they received their greatest circulation during the conflict. If the war is long and the fighting is bitter, with neither side able to achieve victory or even a substantial advantage, soldiers eventually begin to tell strange stories of sights seen when death is near, of miraculous deliveries from destruction, of impossible ships seen above the earth, and even of non-human allies fighting on their side. Psychologists, given to believing only what they can see, feel, hear, or measure, generally have credited these stories to hallucinations resulting from long-sustained stress, or in the case of the non-human allies, to plain wishful thinking rising out of a deep feeling of insecurity. What psychologist was ever willing to believe that an angel suddenly took over the controls of a falling fighting plane, righting the ship and bringing it down to earth in a crash landing that enabled the wounded pilot to crawl away, then curing the wound the pilot had sustained? Red Dog Jimmy Thurman swore this happened to him. He had tangled with an Asian fighter group escorting a hot, high-level bomber over the North Pole. This was in the early days of the war, when such bombers still slipped through their defenses occasionally. Red Dog Jimmy Thurman had got one of the fighters with a single burst from his guns and was pushing his jet straight up at the soft belly of the bomber far overhead, when a shell from an Asian fighter that he had not seen knocked off half his right wing. A fragment of the exploding shell hit him in the right shoulder, mangling the flesh and the bone. Spinning like a leaf being whirled over and over in a hurricane, the plane started the long plunge downward toward the polar ice cap below. Jimmy couldn't work the seat ejection mechanism because of his broken arm. Just before the ship crashed, he realized that someone else was in the cockpit with him, fighting to take over the controls. Since Jimmy was still in the seat, this was not easy. But somehow the other one had managed not only to take over the controls, but had been able to bring the ship down in a crash landing. The other one pulled Jimmy out of the burning wreck. Then, discovering Jimmy's broken, mangled shoulder, it had cured it. At least this was the story Red Dog Jimmy Thurman had told after a helicopter had picked him up and had taken him back to his base. He was very stubborn about it, defiantly insisting that someone else had brought the plane down. The only conclusion Jimmy had been able to reach about the other one in the cockpit with him, he did not know whether it was male or female, was that it had been one of the new people. When the psychos had asked him how another human being could have gotten into a falling plane while it was still thousands of feet in the air, Jimmy had had no answer, except to point out that since the new people were apparently able to accomplish feats beyond the power of an ordinary mortal, they were probably not human. This comment had marked him as permanently unfit for flight duty. Jimmy began to grieve his heart out at this, for he had really loved flying. Then he began to wonder why the new people, presuming they existed, would save his life at the cost of his sanity. He went over the hill a year later. With Spike Larson, it was different. Larson was the commander of an atomic-powered submarine operating in the Persian Gulf. He was lying doggo on the bottom waiting for a fat convoy that should be hugging the shore when three destroyers smelled him out. Larson never knew quite how they had spotted him, but he was in shallow water, and when the first depth charges went off, he knew he had to head for the depths. With charges on the port side making his plates creak, he headed for the channel. The scanning beam reported rocks dead ahead. Swiftly checking his charts, he discovered that no such rocks existed. Cursing, Larson flung the charts across the room. Either they were wrong or the bottom here had shifted. A boom ahead told him it made no difference. His escape had been cut off by a destroyer in the channel. "We'll take her up and fight it out on the surface," he told the lieutenant with him. The officer's face went white at the order, but he was a Navy man. "Aye, sir," he said.
"I would recommend otherwise, Commander," another voice spoke.